Case for argument, United States v. Brzezinskis. Mr. Flynn.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This case involves the interpretation of Application Note 1 of Section 3B1.4 of the Guidelines, the affirmative use of a minor in the commission of a crime. In this case, I think perhaps for the first time, squarely presents the issue that concerned the Butler Court and that this Court in the Sixth Circuit.
Well, I have a very simple-minded reaction, so tell me why I'm wrong, which is simply that this is a conspiracy, and we attribute the acts of the various conspirators to the members, unless, you know, they're unforeseeable or unknown or something like that. So certainly the kingpin here, in effect hired this girl to give the greater appearance of innocence, and your client is a conspirator with them. So why isn't this hiring of the girl, assuming that's a required element of use, that why isn't that just automatically attributed to your client?
Well, this Court in Ramsey, Your Honor, said there must be a detailed case-by-case analysis.
No, but you know what's curious about Ramsey? It talks about multiple defendants. It doesn't talk about conspirators. And it seems to me, as I say, once you have a conspiracy, you attribute the different acts to the different conspirators. And it seems like an easier way to deal with this.
But is this a conspiracy? I mean, it was charged as regular bank robbery.
Yeah, he was charged.
But it is a conspiracy, obviously, whether charged or
there was an agreement among people to rob the bank.
Right, right.
He joined it very late, and under conspiracy
right,
law,
conspiracy.
What was...
The conspiracy doctrine, I mean, my colleague is asking the same question that struck me. The holding of Pinkerton is that every member of a conspirator is liable for every other member's acts within the scope of the conspiracy. And on your own presentation, the employment of a minor was within the scope of the conspiracy.
Well, actually, Judge, although the government did not brief any conspiracy, there is law, and I think there's even commentary in the guidelines, that the Pinkerton doctrine, the scope of that is not the same for interpreting guidelines. And I know I briefed
that. We've held that Pinkerton applies to the guidelines.
I think I'm not going to argue, obviously, with Your Honor, but I do believe that what is foreseeable to the defendant, and the government relies heavily on a statement of Evanston and Courtney Hall, one of the co-defendants. They talk about planning this for 9 days. My client was locked up in the Winnebago County Jail until the noon of about a day and a half before it happened. All the statements that referred to him becoming involved in it were the morning of the bank robbery.
But, you know, yes, another way of coming at this is that it seems pretty clear that there was, as it were, joint direction of this minor. Mr. Hall certainly was telling her what to do, but they were all doing this. And I would suppose the third point is that 3B1.4 doesn't say that it's an exclusive list of the definitions of the way one might use or attempt to use a minor. It says it includes all of these various things, but it doesn't exclude using the minor as a partner in the language that this court suggested.
Well, Judge Reinhart, in deciding
the includes, isn't it really designed to expand the nature of use into things that you mightn't think at first were use? But
I think this case goes too far. Because Mr. Brzezinskis, the original discussion of the plan was that she'd be there afterwards. Nothing about her being a minor. It was more her being a female companion that might lend some normalcy to the case. But there's... This statute penalizes the utilization of minors. It's very different from the cases government cites where baby formula is used, perhaps diapers. The children are 3 and 8 years old.
It's a sentencing enhancement. If you're using a minor in conjunction with the other crime, you're a worse person. You know, you deserve more punishment. That's what the guideline enhancement's all about.
Well, this court in Ramsey held that there should be a case-by-case analysis. And when you look at the facts that showed what Mr. Brzezinskis' knowledge and planning was, he came to the case very late. The plan had already been hatched. He has. I don't think the government even contends that he knew what her age was or had any reason to suspect what her age was. The plan is to have a girlfriend in the car to make it look more normal because there isn't going to be a girl in the bank. He's introduced to it very late. And what essentially the government's urging on this court is a strict liability defense. If you become part of a...
You want to separate. There are two different issues. What is use and whether the defendant has to know or suspect or something that that she is a minor.
That's correct, Your Honor. But I think
And certainly she was used in the scheme as a whole, right? I mean, the evidence.
She was used
seems
by her boyfriend,
clear.
Everson.
Right. So we're all there. I mean, she's there. She's at a minimum young, and she's female, and she's in the car, and not in the bank. So she is, in fact, used as part of this offense. And your only point is that there has to be some much more direct line between Brzezinskis and the use.
That's correct. There's certainly no indication he encouraged, induced, employed. You know, in the same sense, she was used, he was used. This is the gang that couldn't shoot straight. He goes in with a pellet gun. He could have been shot there. His instructions are to get in the back. The dye pack goes off. He's suffocating as a result of the dye pack being in
the
trunk.
That's the sort of argument you address to a judge and appeal to his discretion and his new authority, you know, to depart from the guidelines. It's not. It doesn't go to what use means.
Well, I think the interpretation
and
the government urges on this...
And not likely to be very appealing, given that your client returned to his life of crime less than 48 hours after getting out of prison. It doesn't suggest that he's a candidate for lenience.
Well, I'm not appealing to this court's leniency, but what the government asks this court to hold is that if a minor is at all utilized in the crime, and the other person at some point becomes aware that that person is involved in the crime, whether they know what the age is, then
they're
liable.
Sounds like a good rule, doesn't it?
No.
Why not?
I would disagree with it because I think...
The object, obviously, of this enhancement is to discourage use of minors in criminal activity. And one way to do it is to say, as with other conspirators, if you know that... that would be put it at strongest. If you know that a minor is... or someone who might be a minor is being used in this criminal activity, then then you get an extra sentence, and that will discourage the use of these of minors.
If you have...
Make sense? What's the other side of that argument?
The other side is that if you don't have any indication, A, and there are the two issues, one that the person is a minor, or B...
Well, let's just look at B. What if the girl was obviously 12 years old, right? Then we'd eliminate A. So let's look at B. So suppose she's 12. Now, what's the argument why he shouldn't get an enhancement?
Because it wasn't his plan. He didn't recruit her.
Yes, I know, but you don't just have planners in conspiracy. You have to have the soldiers. And if you can threaten them with a heavier sentence because there are children involved, then the planner is going to find it harder to... implement his plan.
Well, again, even under conspiracy law, you're limited to what was foreseeable to you. And
well, it's certainly foreseeable if you see a 12-year-old, right?
Correct, although...
That's foreseeable.
Yes.
So in that case, that hypothetical case, what is the argument that such an enhancement is inappropriate?
How much time the person had, perhaps, to react to the visual...
Suppose he had a long time to react.
Given those facts, I would agree with you, Your Honor. I would point out that this case is not charged as a conspiracy, and I think it does go too far. I think that Mr. Brzezinski's knowledge of what was going to happen, his statement is basically a description after the fact of what happened. The fact that after the fact, Everson gets out, takes the money, and she's there. He uses the word, they took the money. In essence, Everson is controlling everything. I think that if this court adopts what the government urges it to, and I note that my orange light is on, and I'm about to finish up my thought here. In essence, we do put into effect a strict liability.
She was 15, was she?
There's never been... All the government relied on was the fact that she was adjudicated in juvenile court, which would make her 17 or less.
17.
I think less than 17. So at
Under
least
eight.
16 and...
Okay, thank you, Mr. Flynn. Mr. Carter?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Mark Carner. I'm here on behalf of the United States. Judge, I'd like to take up the address Mr. Flynn's arguments in the order in which they were discussed. First of all, our position is that the district court clearly did not commit clear error when it found that the defendant affirmatively used his minor co-conspirator to commit this offense. Clearly, they were partners. As partners, he encouraged her involvement, and there was three ways that he did that under the evidence. Number one, by agreeing in the plan, they had to commit this robbery for the minor to serve as a decoy, to ride in the front seat of the car and give the appearance of normalcy.
So the evidence shows that from the very start, as they're hatching this plan on after Brzezinskas joins them, he knows that Cassandra is going to be part of the activity.
Yes, Judge. In Robert Evison's statement, he said that on the day of the robbery, they, before the robbery, went over the plan again. He referred to we. He didn't specify which people, but the logical inference is that that included both the minor and this defendant. The second way that they this defendant affirmatively used the minor was to was when she opened the trunk and allowed him to get inside. That was part of the plan. In fact, according to Brzezinskas' statement, he had tied a string to the trunk before, presumably, going into the bank so that he could pull the trunk lid down over him. And last, he gave up the proceeds from the robbery after the whole smoke explosion in the trunk. He gave up the proceeds of the robbery to the miner and Evanston so that those funds could be cleaned from the red dye pack. So those are three separate ways that there was an affirmative use of a minor here. On the second issue of whether the court properly refused or declined the defendant's invitation to impute a scienter element in the guideline, again, the district court properly refused to do that. There is no authority for the appellant's decision or position in this case. The plain language of the guideline does not contain that requirement, and for good reason, to carry out the intent of Congress in protecting minors. So on all those bases, Judge, we'd ask that the court affirm the district court's judgment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carr. Do you have anything more, Mr. Flynn?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you. And you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf. Last case for argument, United States.